But in order to be able to achieve anything worthwhile, the price for that experience is failure.
Did I end up falling short of the goal that I set for myself? Yes. There's no getting around that. Like, I had set a specific goal and I didn't hit that. And so in that sense, you could say it was a failure. It doesn't mean that you inherently did something wrong necessarily when you fail. It just means that it's an opportunity for you to look at things from a different perspective. And that's not a bad thing. It's not something, I think, perhaps more importantly, that you should take on and hold on to as part of your identity. That just because you had this failure come up, that it is something that now is a defining part of who you are. Jonathan, it was by far the most grueling physical experience I've ever done in my life, and I'm very much looking forward to the next one.
Welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
David, several weeks, maybe several months ago, I can't remember which, we had a conversation and we talked about your career as a runner. And at the time, we were talking specifically about training to do hard things. And the hard thing that you had coming up was a marathon. We are now on the other side of the marathon. You have run the marathon. Spoiler alert, he did finish the marathon. But David, tell us how that went. How did the marathon go?
So, for one thing, I just am going to put this out here for everyone that I am very tempted to become that guy now who just inserts into every conversation that I have, in fact, run a marathon, because it's a really cool feeling to be able to say that. But I would like to not have to insert that.
What's the joke, right? Like, how do you know somebody's run a marathon? You don't have to worry. They'll tell you, like that type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, see, I did it for you. I told everybody you ran the marathon. So
you
record show that I said that David ran the marathon, and I've had a fun time. I don't know. I didn't run the marathon, but I've had a lot of fun bragging about David running the marathon, and I didn't have to go through any of the pain of it. So, okay. So we got you off the hook. I said you ran the marathon. You ran the marathon. I don't know. Did you finish in the top five? How did it go?
Let's see. I think there was about 2,500 people that in total that ran it. And I think I was somewhere around like 1,850th or something like that. So not really even in the top 50. And I had set out ahead of time. I will say this, that my goal was going to be a 4-hour and 20-minute finish, which like is for a first time marathon, like it seemed like a pretty decent goal. Like it's not too crazy fast. Like it's somewhere around 10 minute miles. Like it's fairly doable. And I ended up finishing in 5 hours and 15 minutes, which you don't have to be a math major to figure out that that's a lot slower.
Yeah. So to start though, David, here's a question I always ask for my cross country days.
Okay.
When you ran, David, were you running as hard as you could, at least most of the time?
As hard as I was capable of running in those given moments. Yeah, pretty much.
So what I hear is that you were like, what, an hour and 15 minutes tougher than you thought you were going to be. That's the way I would look at that. So.
Okay. I do like that framing. I like that framing.
Instead of enduring all that pain for 4 hours and 20 minutes, you endured the pain for what was your time? 5 hours.
5 hours, 15 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so almost an hour longer. So 5 hours and 15 minutes. So, well, why? What happened? I mean, like what caused you to finish slower than you expected?
Yeah, so there was a few different factors. For one of them was that I have trained pretty much all throughout the winter, and running in the winter when it's at least not completely freezing cold and when the roads aren't icy is actually really nice because running warms you up. But then this was right around the turn of the spring, and the marathon was at Virginia Beach, and it just so happened to be one of the warmest days of the year so far, and so it started out really nice and cool and crisp in the first thing in the morning. But then once we got into the latter half of the race, it ended up being in, close to 80 degrees and in direct sunlight. And that really sucks the energy out of you. So there's part of it. Another part of it was that I for a lot of the training that I did, I didn't focus quite enough on strength training personally. In running, you're tempted to just say, well, if you just run a lot, then you'll be prepared to run a long distance. That's true. true, but there's also a lot of other things surrounding that, like training your muscles specifically for strength, that ends up being really helpful. And I ended up feeling that after about the first half marathon. I felt great, but then around like mile 14 or so, then there was a muscle that was around in my hip that had been bothering me a little bit towards the end of my training block that ended up coming back to bite me and ended up really, really driving me nuts for pretty much like the last half of the race, especially when combined with the heat. And so both of those things together ended up making it so that, yeah, I ended up having to take some breaks and walk for a decent amount of the last half. So not what I had planned, for sure.
So you got baked, you got hurt. You went in almost an hour slower than you had initially planned. You did finish, so that's great. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you didn't achieve your goal, David. So does that make you a failure?
That's the thing, is that I don't think so. Like there was definitely a point when I saw the 5 hour pacer groups pass me that I just went, oh, good grief. And there was a little bit of just a twinge of like, I'm really going to finish behind them. And I was like looking in the energy tanks, like maybe I could join up with them and try to like finish alongside them. I was like, nope, that's not happening. And yeah, there was definitely a part of me that felt like, oh, this is really a bummer. But I ended up, you know, kind of recentering my focus and going, you know what? Like, I don't think that I have to see this as like a failure in a sense. Like, did I end up falling short of the goal that I set for myself? Yes. There's no getting around that. Like, I had set a specific goal and I didn't hit that. And so in that sense, you could say it was a failure. But I think that what I was actually looking for in that experience was the opportunity to just grow myself as an individual runner and as a person through the entire experience, and to just enjoy the experience. Because believe it or not, I'm fully acknowledge that this makes me weird. I really enjoyed the experience of being out running 26 miles for 5 hours and 15 minutes. There were a lot of parts of that that were grueling, but also that I really enjoyed. And so and now I come away from it and I can look back on that experience and go, OK, yeah. So for next time when I want to try this again, I can see exactly what sort of things I want to prepare for. I can see, you know, where I kind of hit some of my limits, what things I need to train for better. And so really, I look at it and I don't really see a failure at all, not only just because I at the end of the day, I completed the race, but because, you know, now it's an opportunity to say, okay, I have much more information. I have everything that I need to be able to look at a goal next time. And I have a lot more confidence that I'll be able to get a lot closer, if not beat that goal next time.
Well, I get to be the bully in the podcast today. I'm going to challenge your assumption, David.
Okay,
so,
go for it.
So I heard what you said, and I think there's some really interesting elements. I'd like to break down those elements there.
Yep.
But I'd like to also say I heard something. And so I heard, first of all, the goal was to run 4 hours and 30 minutes, under 4:30. Is that correct?
No, 4 hours and 20, yeah.
4 hours 20, sorry. So the goal was to run under 4 hours and 20. Okay, so that's a goal.
Yep.
And so the second goal was to just do a marathon,
yep,
right? And that goal with it came with a sort of test myself, see if I can do this, those kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got two goals there. Now, when you said it, you said, I don't think it's a failure at all. But I'd actually push back on that. I'd say, yeah, you finished a marathon, so that's definitely a success. But 5 hours and 15 minutes is not 4 hours and 20 minutes. And so actually, I would say, hey, let's not sugarcoat this. You failed the first goal. Right.
I did.
So, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, I would probably reframe it as just like it was not a complete failure. It was a partial failure in that I failed that one goal, but I succeeded in the broader goal that I had.
It was a full failure for the first goal and it was a success in the second goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, let's just note that's more than I've run. I think my highest is 18 miles. And so I've never run a marathon. And that was, by the way, the 18 miles was quite a bit of gap of time ago. So, you know, that's a pretty substantial achievement. We're not beating up David here. But then something interesting happened. So you said, all right, so I failed my first goal. And I don't know if you had numbered this way. You know, I failed a goal. I succeeded in the second goal. But then you went right into a second phase there, which is you finished it. And I'm assuming when you finished it, you just you know, recovered for a while? Because I assume that there was some, you already said you had some pain in the hip. I bet you there's some pain some other places as well.
Yes. Walking downstairs for the next couple of days afterwards was distinctly painful. I'm about 8 days out now, and I just went for my first run back afterwards. And so I'm feeling okay now, thankfully.
Okay. So, but you stopped, and then you had to have reflection here. So let's do a little reflection. So reflection number one, you finished the marathon. And so the question I would want to ask is, was it worth it? It was painful. You had to go out downstairs. You had to put in all this commitment. You spent a lot of time running in the cold, et cetera, et cetera. But you finished it. You've already said that you enjoyed finishing it and you like doing it. So I think I know the answer to this, but let's just, you know, hear it directly from you. Was it worth it to do this marathon to achieve that goal?
Jonathan, it was by far the most grueling physical experience I have ever done in my life. And I'm very much looking forward to the next one.
Yeah. So there you go. So yes, it was definitely worth it. And you're excited about the next one. So there's an evaluation there. And the second thing is you failed the second goal. You didn't hit the time, but you already had some reflection on that too. So you have already said strength training. What else? Like, so you're obviously, you like this enough, you're going to do it again. 420 is probably the goal next time. And so, you know, you're looking to shave off, you know, 55 minutes from your time. Strength training's one. What else are you going to do?
Well, for another thing, I think I will not underestimate how much the weather can put a damper on your time, because, yeah, I was not at all prepared for it suddenly being significantly warmer than it was begin with.
I got good news for you, buddy. You're about to enter Virginia summer, so there's plenty of heat training that's going to happen to you naturally, no matter how early you get up in the morning.
It's
so
true.
So there, you have some advantages there, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's another part of it. And and then I can just think of several like little tweaks that I can do to my training plan where, I told some of my buddies about this afterwards, is that I had this really nice, neat spreadsheet that I made for myself, because this is the kind of person that I am. Is that I made myself a training plan spreadsheet with just like when I was going to do what type of runs, what distance on all of these different dates. And so I do have a copy of my initial plan for how I was going to train. And it just looks like all nice and neat with all of these columns for like, okay, Wednesday mornings, I'm going to do interval training. Sunday afternoons, I'm going to do, my long runs and things like that. And it was just all nice and neat in these columns. I ended up making another copy of it and then editing it based on what I actually ended up doing. And it looks like somebody shot a shotgun at it, is that it's just scattered all over the place because I did get injured at one point during my training block. I got sick multiple times and I had to make a lot of different adjustments along the way. And so I think that I probably will next time do a better job of being able to say, okay, realistically, I'm probably going to end up varying a lot from this, and I can, you know, be more prepared to make adjustments as needed so that I can still be prepared.
Is your high school senior's final year feeling overwhelming? You want them prepared, but without all the extra pressure. That's where Explore by Unbound comes in. Explore gives students coaching, hands-on projects, and courses in life and study skills, plus Christian worldview training and optional dual credit. They'll graduate with confidence, resilience, and clarity about their next steps. Enrollment prices increase soon, so don't wait. Learn more at beunbound.us/explore.
So you've run the marathon, you've accomplished your bigger goal, you failed the secondary goal, you've done some really great evaluation, you know you're going to do it again, so there's a big takeaway there. You've got a plan for what you're going to do. You experience what everybody experiences, which is, you know, the plan doesn't look like real life, and so you're making some adjustments on that. So now let's push it a little bit more. Let's get some more personal and awkward questions here. So 55 minutes off, the secondary goal, on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being, you know, I don't want to tell anybody, and 1 being, I don't care at all. How embarrassing is it when you talk to people and say, you know, I missed my time by almost an hour?
Like a 1.5, to be honest, like just because at the end of the day, I'm really just happy that I was able to do it. And it was my first time. And I am, yeah, just really excited about it. And, you know, that goal was something that I did have to put into perspective, there was definitely times where I was like, if, you know, I really want to be able to make sure I hit this goal. And I was, you know, looking at my pacing and just obsessing over making sure that that was within my reach. But I think especially, you know, coming up close to it, there was a part of me that recognized that I probably wasn't quite going to be able to hit that, and just recognized that, you know what, I think I'm putting too much focus on the number and not enough focus on what I'm actually going to get out of it as an individual. And so I want to have my focus be more on that than the rest of it. And so, yeah, I think that has been a really helpful adjustment for me that, you know, the buddies that I ran it with encouraged me with. And so, yeah, I, you know, am obviously still a little disappointed that I didn't hit that goal, because that had been what I've been working for 4 months. But yeah, like 1.5 out of 5 as far as embarrassment, not really at all.
So not embarrassed, but you said something else there, disappointed. So give us the same scale, 1 to 5, in terms of disappointment.
I mean, that's probably closer to like a 2.5. Like, there's no getting around the fact that it was a lot of work. Yeah, I've trained for 4 months and it took a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of even just, you know, things like cost in just all of the supplements and stuff to, you know, keep myself going with training. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I'm still just like, looking forward to the next one, because yeah, what am I disappointed I didn't hit that goal? Sure. But like, I know at the end of the day that that's kind of the cost that it takes to get the information that I need to be able to actually hit it the next time that I need to. And so I can now recognize, looking back on it, that it was almost in some ways a little bit silly to assume that I was going to hit that goal the very first time, having never experienced anything like that before. And so now that I have had that experience, I'm not really that disappointed in having put all of the time and the costs into it. And instead I can look at that and say, yeah, that was a worthwhile investment, because now next time I'm going to be way more prepared.
So what you're saying, Dave, is that your expectation did not match reality, or reality did not necessarily match your expectation, but you reevaluate. So maybe the next question would be, first of all, do you have another marathon scheduled?
Not another full one as of yet, but I do have another half marathon scheduled for this fall that I'm doing with a few friends.
So you've got a half marathon scheduled, a full one over the horizon somewhere. Mm-hmm. For that full marathon, what would your time goal be?
You know, that's a good question. I think there's a solid part of me that will just kind of train as hard as I can and then just see what is going to end up being realistic. Because I think I did a lot of just, oh, this is what like somebody of my age and, you know, experience and, you know, body type is probably going to be capable of. But I did not put nearly into account the actual reality of what I as an individual can do. And so, you know, who knows, maybe I'll be, you know, in a really great spot by that point. I'll have done a lot of strength training. Maybe I'll be able to get under 4 hours. That would be awesome. Maybe, you know, I'll have some sort of injury or something, and maybe I'll need to dial it back. Maybe I'll just need to be around 4.5 hours. I don't know for sure, but now I think I can be a lot more accurate in predicting what I'm going to be able to do.
Well, thanks for letting us put you underneath the microscope here, David, and talk about your marathon.
Oh, you're welcome. I would happily do it for next hour.
Or maybe you should thank me for asking you about it.
I really just thank the listeners for, you know, making it like 15 minutes into this podcast while I've rambled on.
Listen to Trump's marathon.
We promise there's a point to it.
There's an interesting piece here that David has not accomplished the goal he set out for the time stuff. He'd accomplished his bigger goal. But it is worth noting that while he's reevaluating and reflecting on how he'd do things differently, he's done something that the vast majority of the population has never done, which is run a lot of miles all at once. And so there's something to be said about the failure, may have been a failure, but 5 hours and 15 minutes to cover that much miles is a lot faster than the vast majority of Americans are capable of attempting or will ever attempt. And so already it puts you in kind of a unique group and an elite group in that sense. But of course, we're talking about this because, frankly, Dave's just going to be a lot happier for the next couple of weeks having spent some time talking about his marathon. But we talked about it because, you know, we were having this discussion earlier in terms of failure. And one of the things that we notice in working with young people, and you know, this is our little disclaimer spot. If you're listening to this, especially if you're a young person, hear this clearly. Every culture has its challenges. And some of the ones that we're talking about are unique to this culture. Every culture and every group and every generation has its advantages too. We don't talk about the advantages as much, not because they're not as important, but because if you got the advantages, you're already doing them, right? You know, I mean, like, we don't talk about the fact that David can run because David can run. Well, that's a big deal. Not everybody can, right? I mean, everybody has health, but that's the base level of health that allows them to do the marathon. We don't talk about that because it's kind of an accepted thing. We talk about where it didn't work because that's the part that you can make and change and do something different. So keep that in mind. But you have a generation where a culture sort of says, this is the way it's supposed to go. You're supposed to graduate from this successfully. You're supposed to do this next thing successfully. You're supposed to do this next thing successfully. You're supposed to do this next thing successfully. In other words, you're supposed to accomplish and achieve and get good or above average marks the whole way through. And then that's kind of your life. And look, we'll lay this out for you. You know, do this, get a job, climb the ladder, American dream, all those kinds of things. And yet, that's never the way things work. I mean, that's never worked in any generation, and it certainly is not going to work here. But we have a generation now where that's the dichotomy between those two things are really far apart. The expectation is more because social media distorts. And so you've got all these people saying, worked for me. I did great. And the reality is that most people are going to find things vastly different than they expected because things are changing so fast. And so there is no way to say, hey, do this and you'll be fine. The only thing we can say is do this and you're guaranteed to fail. In other words, whatever it is that you do, there's going to be some aspects of this that don't work. And that's a totally different message. That's a totally different mindset. And if you go into that without any context, it's kind of like there's a hopelessness, there's a frustration, there's a futility that comes with it. But if you go in it with the expectation of like, that's actually the way the world works. So David, to translate this, if it had been like the only way, you know, you're a decent marathon runner is if you achieve your time goal and you finish this race, and then you don't. Or people say, yeah, you can set a time goal, but the vast majority of people are not going to come anywhere close to the time goal they set. You know, there's some aspect of like, well, why am I even trying, right? But if you ended there, then you don't get to, and I thought the most interesting part of your story there is you said, this was the price I have to pay to get this information. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think that this is something I've learned not only in running, but in a lot of other areas of life that in order to get the information that you need to succeed, you almost all every single time have to fail at it to some extent. There's a lot of situations in life where you're not going to have a straightforward, if you follow these five steps, you will be successful every single time type of setup. There are some things where that works, but a lot of the times in life, it's going to be a lot more complicated than that. Instead of it being step one, two, three, four, five, it's going to be step one, step two, and then step two doesn't quite work how it's supposed to. So then all of the following steps have to get moved down some, and you have to create your own steps three, four, and five from scratch because your situation is completely unique. And then once you do that, then once you actually get to the initial steps three, four, and five, then those don't look like how they're supposed to. And so you have to create adaptations from that. You know, anybody who has started their own business, for an example, can attest to this, where you know, you have a great idea for how everything is going to look with your business launch and how you're going to, you know, work with your clients or what your product is going to look like. And reality is always going to make that look different. You have to be able to just put something out there and learn what works and what doesn't. And so, yeah, in the case of my running, I had to just put out my best effort and based on what I had done so far. And then I was able to learn from that and say, okay, now I know what I need to know to be able to put out my next best effort next time. And I know a lot more that is going to make that effort a lot better. And so, yeah, I think that the expectation that you're going to be able to follow a five-step plan and have flawless success every single time is one of the greatest myths that our culture has perpetuated recently.
we could maybe rephrase this, you know, and add to this a little bit, is that the way to be successful, the way to accomplish goals that matter, and the way to lead a meaningful life, like, in other words, the things that you want to do, you will earn that through experience. The cost for experience is failure. In other words, you know, you heard David say, this is what I had to pay to get this experience. You will need experience for whatever it is that you're doing and that you want to do that are important. The cost for that experience is always some level of failure. And I want to really kind of press this down and sharpen it and say, especially if you're a young person listening, or if you're, you know, the parent of a young person, and maybe this applies to you directly as well, but let's just go through it. You are not likely to be able to become really good at whatever academics you're doing until you fail the quiz, forget the test, don't read the book, ignore the syllabus one time, right? Like there's a level of failure that has to come before you can really lean into that and do that. You are unlikely to know how to best deliver value at work until you make a mistake, break some machinery, oversleep your alarm and show up late one time, mess up with a customer, whatever. Like those things are all going to happen in order for you to really understand how your job works and things like that. But then let's move into some other more maybe personal things. You don't really know how to successfully be a good friend or have good relationships, honestly, until you have that friendship that kind of comes unglued at the edges, maybe through no fault of your own, or maybe because you screwed up in some fashion. And then let me even get more direct here. For the vast majority of people, you are unlikely to know how to find and build a relationship with the person you're going to marry until you've had a couple of failed dating relationships. If you're a guy, when you ask the girl out and she says no, and you have to kind of deal with the sting of that rejection. Or if you're the girl, when the guy that you wanted to ask you out, ask your friend out instead. Or when you are dating somebody and it turns out this is not working, this is not compatible, and you have to deal with a bruised and broken heart for a piece of time. I just want to make sure that you hear clearly that failure is inevitable. Now, not failure in every aspect of your life, and there may be parts of your life that go surprisingly, amazingly, miraculously well. But in order to be able to achieve anything worthwhile, the price for that experience is failure. And knowing that knowing that that's the reality, like gravity is a reality, knowing that can make all the difference in how that failure is contextualized. And if you can do what David's done here and say, okay, I failed, and I'm willing to admit the failure there, but I succeeded my bigger goal. But more importantly, I gained the experience I needed, and now I have a new set of ideas, a new motivation to do this, and a new understanding of what it's going to take to do whatever it is I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonathan, I think a really important distinction to make here is that just because you have failed does not mean that you didn't work to the best of your ability and that you did not put in the best effort possible that was possible for you at any given point. There's a lot of circumstances where, say, for example, I'll tell you a story from myself personally. I was kind of always the kid that was just naturally good at school, at just most of the way that most curriculums worked. And, my mom was a very gifted teacher, and so she was able to lay things out for me in our homeschooling in a way that just clicked for me. And so it took a lot for me personally to be challenged academically. And so I was really good naturally. I think a lot of it was a natural talent combined with some of that training to be able to figure out how to study and analyze the textbooks well. And so I had that work for me for a long time, really, really well, up until I got to the point where I got into some higher education stuff. And once I got into some subjects that, through several combinations of things, I ended up struggling with a lot more. And I had to come to the realization that I did the very best that I possibly could with what I knew how to do at the moment, and it didn't work out well for me. I failed some tests. And so then I had to struggle a little bit, especially at first, with the fact that, like, wait a minute, I did everything right based on what I understood. I was supposed to succeed. Why didn't it work? And so then I had to go back to the drawing board and had to painfully learn the lesson that just because you do everything right doesn't mean that you are always going to succeed. And that's just the way that life works sometimes. And so then I had to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, well, if maybe my understanding of how the right way to do it for this particular thing is a little bit flawed, or maybe I have to look for some new resources and find some different ways to go about it. And so it doesn't mean that you inherently did something wrong necessarily when you fail. It just means that it's an opportunity for you to look at things from a different perspective. And that's not a bad thing. It's not something, I think, perhaps more importantly, that you should take on and hold on to as part of your identity, that just because you had this failure come up, that it is something that now is a defining part of who you are.
One last perspective we might offer on this. In Unbound, we have, you know, various t-shirts and sweatshirts we design for various events. And one of our more popular ones has written on the sleeve, failure is an option. And it's a kind of statement that makes people go, wait, what? Because what do you hear? You hear in the movies, or you hear with the highly, you know, motivated team, you know, team failure is not an option. And that's always told, you know, by the Super Bowl team that won, by the special operations forces that achieved their objective, all those kinds of things. And so that's understandable in those kinds of high stakes endeavors. Maybe not so much for the Super Bowl. Failure is certainly an option. But in certain life and death things, there are places where performance has to be perfect. And failure is not an option. It has to be done right. But here's the important part to understand. All the way to that point, failure was an option. Mm-hmm. And what we mean by putting that on the sweatshirt is not that we want our students to fail, or that we just shrug our shoulders and say, oh, big deal, you failed. It's that in order for you to achieve something worthwhile, in order for you to run a marathon, in order for you to do something that many people haven't done, you're going to have to consider failure as an option, because to gain the experience you need to do that thing, the price of that is failure. You're going to have to go over your time. You're going to have to get sick and break your training plan. You're going to have to do those things and readjust and do that. And when you get into those high performance areas, and not all of us will, but those of us who will, where it really is a no margin, failure is not an option type of situation, the only way you can be prepared to deal with that situation is if you've come through a system where failure was an option, and you've been able to stretch yourself and press yourself and learn all the things that now equip you to be able to perform at that one moment when failure really isn't an option. And so knowing that and being prepared for that can make all the difference. It's not that we want you to go out and fail. It's not that we say, oh, you know, don't try hard, don't be successful. That's not it at all. The idea is instead try hard enough that you're going to fail. In other words, mm-hmm. push yourself to the point where you fail, and then reevaluate as David did, say, what have I learned from this, and apply that and go forward, and then do it again, press the failure again. And along the way, you're going to find that the limits that you thought you had, the things that you thought were possible, are small compared to the limits that you actually have and the things that are actually possible for you. And that's the excitement of kind of absorbing this failure thing, not as a defeatist thing, but instead as a learn, make myself stronger, and press forward thing. Any last thoughts, David?
Yeah, I was just going to say I absolutely agree with that. And to add on to that, there is so much of failure that is a mental game. You know, the goals that we set for ourselves, the standards that we try to meet, so much of the time we make them so much bigger in our heads than they really need to be. And I think especially for those of us who believe in Christ, you know, Christ's redemption for us, it's so encouraging to take a second and zoom out and say, regardless of how much failure or success that I have in life, Christ has already died for me. And, the God of the universe has said, you are worth that. And so, no matter how many personal or professional failures that I have beyond that, not saying that, just all of them are acceptable, Christ has already said that we have value. And so our failures, our mistakes, especially our sins, are things that certainly we shouldn't ignore or say that they don't exist. But I think that it's very much worth saying that does not determine our value, because our value has already been declared. It's not about what we are or are not capable of doing. And so then when you're able to say, all right, I can chase after this. I can work as hard as I can. And I know that my value is still going to be far beyond what I will ever be able to understand, because that is what God has said that it is. Then I think that frees us up way more to be able to just be much more free in pursuing what God has for us, and to just leave the outcome up to Him, and, you know, be able to accept failure in stride, because that's not what determines our value. I think that sets us majorly apart from how the world perceives our worth and our success.
Well, well said. And as we're recording this early in the beginning of Holy Week, and as Resurrection Day approaches, those are good words to think about, good words to live by, good words to reflect on. So thank you for joining us as we talk a little bit about David's marathon and some of the lessons he's learned from it. We might just take a moment and note that most educational systems are built on a no-failure idea. You know, if you fail a class, it murders your GPA and it supposedly ruins your life. And, you know, if you fail a test in a course, it will then fail the course, and it goes on. And the point there is that traditional education and most education systems are on this idea of success and failure is not an option. And it's worth noting that that's not the world that we live in. And so if that makes sense to you, then maybe what also makes sense to you is to be unbound from that kind of success-ridden, unrealistic, not your plan's not going to meet reality type of situation, and consider some of the things that we offer through Unbound. We have educational programs that are built on a different philosophy, and that philosophy is that we want people doing real things, project-based education, experiencing real things, interacting with real people, and pushing hard enough that they are absolutely going to fail. And that when those failures come, they're not catastrophic. They're not even particularly damaging. Instead, they're educational. They're the prices to be paid for the experience gained that will allow them to do bigger and better things. And if you have any understanding of Unbound, you know that we have students who are continually pressing to do bigger and better things. And you can see some of that if you go to our YouTube channel, the Be Unbound YouTube channel, and watch particularly our latest video, which is a wrap-up from Ridgeline, where we had students doing a lot of projects, some of which failed, most of which succeeded. And if you want to get a glimpse of that. But if you're just interested in that kind of idea and that kind of educational philosophy, now's the time to go to beunbound.us, check out our website there, and look at our programs as the recruiting year for all of our programs, high school as well as our post high school Ascend flagship program, is speeding up and heating up as we get into the big part of the recruiting season here. So thank you so much for your time. Until next time, be unbound.